We're talking about what often in biblical study and theology is called the canon of Scripture, the rule of the books that actually compose Scripture. Those of you, anybody from a Catholic background, where you've got the Apocrypha, so you've got those books. How many books in the Apocrypha? 14, something like that, whatever it is, that are in a Catholic Bible. So one is called Bell and the Dragon, and there's some interesting stuff in there, and I think some not only interesting but occasionally helpful stuff. But Protestants do not believe that those books were inspired. They were added much later. Going back to how did this happen? There were councils in the early church where they would get together. They would recognize which books are inspired, and they had a lot of things that are sometimes called apocrypha, sometimes called pseudepigrapha, but which is really the false writings. How do you decide what's in there? And what seemed to happen was it just somehow was self-evident that these books were inspired by God. And there were not hot debates about most of them. It was interesting because sometimes you'll hear Martin Luther, the reformer, who called James the Epistle of Straw because he thought it was inferior and really didn't belong in the canon because he thought it contradicted Paul in salvation by grace through faith. And it appears to talk about salvation by works. I think that he's wrong. And I think that there was, if you compare those books, do works justify us? Well, in the sense that James is talking about, yes, it's like works that bear out the fruit of our salvation. So Abraham was justified when he actually obeyed in sacrificing Isaac. But that's not the same. I mean, Paul is talking about you're only saved by faith, not by works, which means there's no righteous thing you can do to make yourself commendable before God. Those are simultaneously true. And by the way, that's one of the big things in Bible interpretation is to harmonize. Don't assume that paradoxes are contradictions. It's like sovereignty and free will. Well, which is it? Well, it's both. And so is it you're saved only by faith, or that in your life you can live in such a way that demonstrates the reality of your salvation through the works that you do? And the two are together. But back on the canon thing, so they recognize these books early, and they were compiled in early manuscripts of Scripture. So I think where it leaves us as Christians is we just have to trust that God was sovereignly at work, providentially at work, in the books that were selected that became known as the canon of Scripture. And the other thing I would add Deuteronomy, actually there's a passage, I'm going to read from Revelation 22, there's a similar passage in Deuteronomy, but this one is really significant because it's at the very end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible written, where it says in verse 18 of Revelation 22, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if you've read that book, you do not want those plagues added to your life, if you think your life's tough now. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, you know, you can say, well, he's only talking about the book of Revelation. Yes, but in the sovereign plan of God to place this right at the end of the whole of Scripture, I think gives us a little bit of liberty to apply it to all that precedes it. If anyone takes words away from the prophecy of this book, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. Now, that would be another example of a passage. If that's all you had, wait, his share in the tree of life? This looks like he's losing his salvation here by denying certain things that are in this book. So again, that's probably one of the verses in the list that I gave to those college students. And in the holy city, which are described in this book, he who testifies these things say, yes, I'm coming soon. So that isn't a thorough answer, but does that get a follow-up question?
In, like when Paul was writing his letters,
yeah.
did he write some letters? Like, did he know that he was writing?
Under inspiration. That is a great question. You have an allusion in Peter, that Peter makes to our brother Paul, who writes, who has written for us scriptures. This is the word that is used of Old Testament, the inspired word of God, that are difficult to understand. So I think there was some recognition, at least Peter was recognizing Paul wrote certain inspired things. We don't know, there is a passage in 1 Corinthians 7 where Paul says, I write these words, not the Lord, but I write these. And it's almost like, is he inspired enough to say that he's not being inspired in what he's saying now? Or is he just simply saying, and I think this is the answer, the Lord didn't address this in his earthly ministry. It's not in the Gospels, but I'm telling you. But when Paul would say certain things, and you see this with other biblical writers, you have a sense that sometimes he clearly knows this is the revealed Word of God. And other times, it's more like he's talking to, Euodia and Syntyche and two women that were having, a fight in Philippi. And did he know that those words and his greetings and all of that were inspired? I'm not sure, but the prophets, did they all know all the time? And sometimes it's in retrospect we see it, not necessarily at the time.